Sid Hoskinson, you were in the boardroom as the vote was cast. Superintendent Nicolai Vitti telling you that this means more than a name change. Let's listen quickly to Dr. Vitti.
I think it restores faith in part of the community that maybe didn't always feel that we were equitable with our decisions.
And so the superintendent wanted this. The board, a new school board, we need to point out, a different one than the one several years ago that voted to keep the name, unanimously said the board agreed with Vitti.
Well, I think the key here was, and Dr. Vitti kept saying it over and over again, that it's a child-centric decision, that he listened to the students. And almost to a person, I think the school board members echoed that sentiment. They surveyed, they polled the students at the school to find out what they wanted. Although the vote to change the name was not overwhelming, it was 2/3 of the students did say that they wanted it like that, so he went with it.
The majority of students at Forest High School are African American. We spoke with Forest student Tremaine McCreary. Here's his reaction.
It shows me that someone cares about my education. They're not just sending me to a school named after a Confederate general. They're actually sending me to a school where change is being in place. You know what I'm saying? My thoughts matter, and that really it helps me. It makes me very ambitious. It makes me want to strive for the better.
Sammy Mack, reporter for State Impact Florida. You've been covering this issue for listeners around the state. In Jacksonville, it's a divisive issue. How is this played around the rest of Florida?
It's really interesting. When I talk to people outside of Jacksonville about this story, their reaction is they sort of can't believe that it hasn't changed yet. There's a lot of surprise that this still exists. And I think part of that is that it's such a diverse state. North Florida, we have an expression, you have to go north to go south.
Right.
And in a place like Miami, this would sort of be inconceivable. But what is really interesting about it, I think to everyone, is sort of what it indicates about the community that is Jacksonville, and they read into that some of the history and what they perceive as prejudices. When you talk to a lot of people, they sort of look at this and, true or not, say this is so South.
Hmm. That's how it's in South Florida, especially. Mm-hmm. That's the reaction you get. Mm-hmm. And we'll go to your calls in just a moment. The number to join the show, 549-2937. Let us know your reaction to last night's school board vote, a unanimous vote to change the name of Nathan Bedford Forest High School. Sid Hoskinson, you've heard from both proponents of this move and opponents. What did the opponents have to say last night?
Well, the opponents kind of fell into two camps. There were the alumni of the school, and then there were the historians, the history buffs. So it seemed to fall into those two areas. The history buffs, of course, said that General Forrest wasn't a monster, that he did a lot of good, that he was good to his slaves. And, of course, the alumni said, you know, my diploma says Forrest, and I want to keep it like that.
Let's talk about the history. There's been much discussion since a Jacksonville resident put a petition up at the website change.org asking that the name be changed. Let's discuss what we do know about the history of this man and why this became such a divisive issue. For those who haven't followed it closely, who was Nathan Bedford Forrest? Sammy.
He was a Confederate general who, no matter what kind of historian you are, pretty much all historians agree that he was a very, very good war strategist. And this becomes important in the conversation around the name Forrest, because as a war strategist, he was extremely intuitive about understanding how to attack supply lines, was kind of ruthless about figuring out where to put his troops and how to be effective as a leader. And then after the war, he becomes the first Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. He technically wasn't one of the founding members, but certainly he's recognized as their first leader. A lot of historians cite him as their first leader. And what ends up happening in the conversation around Forrest High's name is the people who support Forrest the general support him as a general, as a veteran, but then you hear, everybody else says, how do you separate Forrest, the man who was involved in the Klan, from Forrest, the man who was also this general for the Confederate Army?
also said the name was chosen at the height of federal efforts to desegregate public schools in America, chosen, some say, in response to that federal order. That more than anything seemed to drive the divisiveness and the hurt over this issue.
Well, the school was named in 1959, 4 years, 5 years after the 1954 Supreme Court decision, Brown versus Board of Education. And even though the students wanted to name the school Valhalla, the students who would be going there, the Daughters of the Confederacy jumped in and just to thumb their noses at the Supreme Court justices. Pushed through the name for Nathan Bedford Forrest.
And it endured for decades. This morning, though, the name will go away. This graduating class will be the last to graduate from Forrest High School. The students now, Sammy and Sid, will get to vote on a new name. And what are the two most popular choices?
Westside High School and Firestone High School. And that's the street that the school is located. So it makes sense. I guess there were other names that were suggested, but those were the two names that Dr. Vitti said had the most support.
And I think it's worth noting, too, that the school does not have the opportunity to use a person's name. There's a rule against that at this point. And
new schools can be named after a person.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that
or
is a
alive.
District
dead
by district.
Or alive.
Dead
yeah.
or alive.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go to your thoughts about this big decision last night by the Duval County School Board after months of discussion and input over this longstanding issue in Jacksonville. The board unanimously voted to change the name of Nathan Bedford Forrest High School. Forrest, the original Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. What's your reaction? 549-2937. Let's go to Chris in Jacksonville. Hi, Chris. Thanks for holding. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning, Melissa. Great show. I listen all the time.
Thanks
for taking my call.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I'm a 1988 graduate of Forrest. I've been following this particular issue very, very closely, and I'm very, very happy that it's finally coming to an end. I mean, as your guest pointed out, that this to name it for Forrest, this all began, frankly, as a reaction to what was kind of moving our country forward, moving our country out of a area of sacred time of segregation into a more open era. And people still wanted to hold us back, especially here in the South. And I think it's bad for Jacksonville to continue naming it Forrest. And it's good to turn the page on this and kind of end it.
Chris, what did some of your classmates from your era at the school have to say about it? Have you discussed it with them?
I have. It's about 50-50 for the most part. From what I can tell, it's pretty 50-50. And for the ones that want to retain the name Forrest, it's not, I don't think it's motivated by any kind of negativity necessarily or racism or anything like that. It's just tradition, and it's always been named that, and that's the way it was. And like someone said, you know, the diploma says that. But, you know, the thing is, it really started kind of affecting me when I went to a volleyball game. My daughter plays volleyball for another school here in Jacksonville. And I went to a game there at Forrest. They were playing at Forrest, and the entire Forrest volleyball team was African-American girls, and I was watching them play underneath, you know, Forrest and the little symbol of the rebel and the Confederate general, and I just really started getting bothered by it. I just put myself in their place, and I would not like to be in an environment like that where the school that I go to is named for someone who, you know, while he may not have founded the KKK, he was the first Grand Wizard. While he may not have been a horrible man, he still did own slaves, and he still does represent a time that we absolutely, especially in Jacksonville, need to move away from.
And that's Chris in Jacksonville, a graduate of Forrest High. Thanks for the call, Chris. Sammy Mack.
Before coming up here last week, I spoke to a historian whose whole specialty is looking at how the South names its schools. And one of the things that he pointed out is that the names of schools and of public institutions is a reflection of the values of the people in power. And I think that is part of what the people who are so opposed to the name Forrest were responding to, and perhaps what some of what our caller was responding to was that that perceived imbalance of power, especially in this day and age, that those values don't necessarily match what the community wants anymore.
Zarif in Jacksonville's on the line. Hello, Zarif. Good morning. How are you today? Okay. Give us a call back. The number to join the show, 549-2937. Let's go to Tom on the west side. Hi, Tom. Thanks for your call. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm just wondering how much longer this is going to go on, because we've got Jeff Davis, we've got Robert E. Lee, Jeb Stuart. I mean, are we going to change every school with a Confederate name?
Tom, thanks for that question. Sid, that has come up repeatedly as this discussion has progressed in the community. Is this a slippery slope? Will we now look at changing the names of other schools named after prominent figures from the Confederacy?
Well, there are reportedly 50 schools that have these names, and Dr. Vitti and members of the school board have said over and over again that they don't think this is a slippery slope, but they might not start slipping down it, but that's not to say that members of the public won't go there. So even though they hope that this will not, you know, people, the names of the other schools won't have to be changed, what the public wants is really kind of going to dictate that. So who can say at this time?
And lots of feedback on this issue on social media as we're discussing last night's school board vote to change the name of Forest High School. Overwhelming feedback on Twitter. Amy tweets the show, "It's about time." From Jay, "I'm proud of the school system for voting to change the name. Thanks to all who signed and pushed the petition." From Richard, "I honestly don't see what the big deal was about this." From Zachary, "So glad our school board voted to change the name. Hopefully our city council now will amend the human rights ordinance." From Harper, "I agree with Sammy Mack. I'm from South Florida. I live now in Fernandina Beach, and I can't believe this is even a discussion." And from Phyllis, "Why not open this up to local companies, similar to what Everbank Field did with the stadium, help to offset the cost of conversion? It will cost nearly $500,000 to change out everything." Sammy and Sid, that will, I understand it, be provided by private donors, not through taxpayer money. Is that right?
To a degree, I think they're going to look into getting donations for changing the sign outside the school, for changing the uniforms. There are some things, though, that the school will pick up the tab for the school district.
So there will be some cost to the school system. And then Robert, on our Facebook page, "People from coast to coast took an interest in the name of this school. Will those who took an interest continue to care about the school now that the name is going to change?" Those who have said, Sammy, that the real issue isn't what the school's named, but the academic performance and the issues that the students need support for.
Yeah, I think that's a completely fair question. And it's something that I personally, as a reporter, am interested in. My conversation with Nicolae Vitti started about 6 months ago when I was up here reporting on some other stuff. And the issue of race and racism, and specifically the example of Forest, kept coming up. And when I talked to him about it, he talked about some larger plans and programs that he wanted to get in place to address some of the disparities and achievement gaps, and also disparities in student discipline specific to Jacksonville and Duval County. And we're going to be watching those for sure.
Cliff in Jacksonville is with us. Hi, Cliff. Thanks for holding. Good morning, Cliff.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Great.
I was just wondering if there is a place to submit a suggestion for a name change, like a public place.
Oh, thanks for that, Cliff. Let's discuss that, because Sid, as you mentioned a moment ago, I'm sure there will be suggestions, but I believe the superintendent's going to leave it up to the students.
The students hold the trump card, but he's also going to be polling all the stakeholders, alumni, faculty, staff, parents, people in the community. But really, and he made a point of saying last night that he had told the students at Forest that this was a civics lesson and that they should come away from this knowing that their voice counts.
Mark on the West Side. Hi, Mark. Thanks for calling in. Go ahead, Mark.
Good morning. I want to support the previous caller who said, you know, how long is it till we start taking care of all the other Confederate school names? And I think in this particular issue, they were very careful not to go there, but it's only common sense, and it only flows logically that, you know, if you get rid of, you know, Forrest, I mean, he was probably the most egregious example, but, you know, how can we have a school which is predominantly African-American or any school such as Robert E. Lee? I mean, you know, you can argue what you want, but he was a traitor to our country. He'd be a terrorist in today's terms. You know, you can't not get rid of that school. It's just, a no-brainer, and the sooner the better, I think. I mean, all these people that seem to have a problem with the name change, and maybe rightly so, are these people that are, you know, thinking back to their dim, misty high school days and, you know, good old Lee and Forrest and all that stuff. But you cannot have a school representing, you cannot have a name of a school in the South representing a Confederate anybody. I don't care how well-intentioned or good person they were after they did their service to the Confederacy. It just says just horrible things about our city. And to have a school that's predominantly black, I don't understand either. They must not be teaching history to these kids, because I can't imagine any one of these kids in school standing for this for a second if they knew anything about the Civil War and slavery and the antebellum South. You think they would uprise as one and demand a name change? So they must not know the full historical weight of those names. But I can't wait till Robert E. Lee is Harriet Tubman, whatever, Sojourner Truth or somebody like that.
That's Mark on the West Side. Mark, thanks. Sid, this is a problem that's unique to the South.
Well, you know, actually, everybody hates somebody in history. It just depends on which side you're on. Hence the Connie Hall's drive to make sure that in the future schools will not be named for anyone living or dead.
To avoid these types of controversies. But Sammy Mack, the history in this region of the country is particularly fraught and painful, and these types of issues are extremely difficult to resolve.
Yeah, they definitely are, which makes this case really interesting. The way that, and this is one of the ways that this particular attempt to change the name is different from past attempts, in that VD sort of said from the beginning that he would support it as long as there was community buy-in and as long as that process sort of happened organically from the community. And there have been these meetings. There was a survey of students. There was that meeting just within the school that was not open to the public and the media.
Our CEO was part of that, Michael Boylan. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, we're getting lots of calls from alumni of Forest High School. Brian is on the line, Brian in Jacksonville. Hi, Brian. Good morning.
Good morning. I would just like to say that I was a 2007 Forest alumni, and I'm also from Memphis, Tennessee. Not too long ago, there was a big debate about changing the name of Confederate Park in Memphis. And a lot of the points that people are bringing up were what was discussed. The only problem that I have is that on a historical basis, the KKK or Ku Klux Klan, when they were first formed, they protected the rights of both white and black slave owners and farmers. Up until the 1950s, the KKK actually stood for the rights of the people against big corporations and big banks that were moving into the area, small towns like Memphis and stuff like that. Even after the Confederate War, or the Civil War, Robert E. Lee was one of the most celebrated military strategists in the history of mankind. People still read Sun Tzu's Art of War, and they have no problem with the atrocities that he promotes in the book, killing babies, killing families. But yet, because of a perceived stigma towards the Ku Klux Klan back in the day, people have a huge issue with this. And I'm sorry. I went to Forest. I understand where they're coming from. That yes, it may seem racist, but if you actually understood the history behind it, you would know that it has nothing to do with race. The KKK wasn't a racist organization until the 1950s.
But Brian, I'm sorry to push back on you, but that's just not true, sir. That's just not true. The Ku Klux Klan is widely recognized today as a terrorist organization that terrorized blacks throughout the South for many decades.
Well, there were three incarnations of the Klan, and that's a historical fact. If you look back in the books, you can see the very first incarnation was that they did protect black and white slave owners.
All right.
That's a historical fact.
Okay. That's Brian in Jacksonville. Sid Hoskinson.
That might be the case today, but you really have to go back to how the school was named in the first place. It was named because race was an issue back then and because of school segregation and the Supreme Court decision that all schools had to be integrated. So regardless, really, of the Confederate history of the school's name, the more recent 1959 history of the naming of the school is really what stands out.
And let's get lots of calls from the West Side. No surprise on that. Let's go to Terry on the West Side. Hi, Terry. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. This, to me, represents a proud day in the city of Jacksonville. It represents a step forward that should have been taken a long time ago. It represents a giant sign that says segregation forever being removed from the face of our public school system. And this is a proud day for me. I'm proud that I helped to volunteer to push for this change in a small way. I'm proud that I can pass that legacy on to my children. And I think one other thing we must consider, this is a glaring example of the high cost of hatred. It does not pay to marginalize or discriminate against any group of people, because when you do that, you may not pay for it, but your posterity certainly will. And what has happened is the graduates of Forest, who have this name on their diplomas, have this name in their high school memory, many of them feel somewhat robbed, and I'm sorry about that. But that was caused because of, frankly, bigots from back in the day. So this is a high cost that has had, that has been paid. But this is what happens, and why we must be so careful how we treat our fellow human beings.
Terry, thanks for the call. We'll leave it there. Sammy Mack, reporter for State Impact Florida, WJCT's Sid Hoskinson, thanks for your insights on this as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.